Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Dr. Sherry Buffington, who has been immersed in the study of human nature, motivation, and success principles since 1978, and is an expert on the behaviors and motivations that lead to success. She's the originator of the highly acclaimed CORE multidimensional awareness profile and the CORE personal effectiveness profile, two exceptional coaching tools that get past the effect of conditioning and to the heart of the true person and to provide a trackable baseline and development process so coaches can show their clients that the exact effects of coaching and can recommend targeting coaching for quantum leap results. Dr. Buffington, Sherry to some and Dr. Sherry to others, is a psychologist, coach, consultant, trainer, presenter, and author of several books, including The 7 Essentials for Lasting Success, based on 30 years of experience into the subtleties of success, and The Law of Abundance, which presents an in-depth, scientifically-based explanation of how the absolutely predictable and infallible laws of energy direct and accurately predict every human outcome on every level. This is the book Jack Canfield called exceptional and recommended that everyone read it. She's also the lead author of Exiting Odds, How the New Generation Workforce is Changing the Face of Business Forever, a study of the newest generation to enter the workforce and the ineffectiveness of current leadership methods to lead them. Dr. Buffington, it's a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be on the show, Stacey. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, what causes writer's block?
Well, actually it's caused by stress. The source of it is thinking, and it's the thinking that something has got to be done. When we have writer's block, we go to the computer with the thought, I've got to get this done. When we move to a place of thinking that we have got to get something done, the physiological response is to dump epinephrine, or what's better known as adrenaline, into the bloodstream to prepare us to meet what the subconscious mind then interprets as a threat. I've got to becomes a threat. So adrenaline prepares us for fight, flight, or freeze response. So and as that grows, as we move into the got to mindset, and what happens at a subconscious level is got to conjures up images of a battle, of confronting and attempting to conquer or challenge something. You might try this for yourself, Stacey. Say to yourself, think of something that you that needs to get done pretty quickly, and say to yourself emphatically, and you don't have to even do it out loud, just think to yourself, I have got to, and then fill in the blank with something you think you have that you've got to do. And then notice your bodily response to that. What happens?
You get this overwhelming feeling, and like you're pressed down from the, I feel like I'm being pressed down on my shoulders all the way down, and just, dragging.
That is that response. That's the subconscious response to a threat. It is saying, so you're being pressed down, says that the response is to escape. Let go away.
Wow.
Let's move away from that. And so when we're doing that, the harder we push ourselves using that language and that mindset, the worse things get. So and as if we keep doing that, if we stay in that loop, the epinephrine increases, and then the thinking brain shuts down. And the primitive reactive brain takes over. And now you're getting ready for battle. You're getting ready to escape or to fight the challenge. And it's a no-win situation. Obviously, you need your mind functioning. It's when you're doing something like writing, being creative, and yet that I've got to mindset is actually shutting your thinking brain down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually it does. Thank you for explaining that. So can people will themselves to get past these blocks to get creative?
No, and that's because the subconscious mind runs the show. It's estimated that the subconscious mind is 12 to 20,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind. So when it kicks into protective mode, which it does, when it perceives something as a threat, nothing you will do or can do at a conscious level is going to make any difference. The block exists at a subconscious level, and to get rid of that block, you need to do the work at that level. So let me give you an example of this. Have you ever had a situation where you were trying to recall the name of something or someone, like a song or somebody's, some movie star whose name, you know, and you're trying to recall their name, and it's right there almost within reach, and you just can't seem to call it up, and the harder you try, the more elusive the name becomes? Have you ever had that?
Oh, definitely.
What happens?
All the time.
What happens when you stop trying?
Well, eventually it'll pop up if suddenly I'll remember it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the minute we stop trying, eventually the name pops in. You're going, oh, that's the name I was trying to think of. That's because you gave up the struggle, and now the answer isn't a got to anymore, and therefore is no longer perceived as an enemy. So if it's not an enemy or a threat to your sense of well-being, the approach is completely different now. And the same is true of writer's block. Since it's a subconscious thing and you can't will yourself to get past those blocks and get creative, because will is a conscious process. What you can do, however, is take advantage of what the subconscious mind is always after, and that's an overall sense of safety and well-being. And it only wants two things for you. It's true of every. I've been doing this work for 22 years, and I've never seen an exception. Everybody's subconscious mind wants only two things for them. It wants safety and well-being, and that is translated by those two things as they apply to the subconscious. They actually apply on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So the subconscious mind is seeking your safety and your well-being on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So if something seems mentally challenging or a mental threat, it's going to defend that. If it seems like an emotional threat, it's going to defend that. If it seems like a spiritual threat, it's going to defend that. It seems like a physical, same thing. So safety is the concept of survival. Remember, it wants two things for you, safety and well-being. Safety is the concept of survival, and well-being is the concept of happiness. So it's seeking only those two things for you, your survival or your happiness. So if you approach something such as writing with that awareness in mind, that your subconscious mind wants only your safety and only your well-being, your survival and happiness, then you can change your language, and you can choose language, and you can choose emotions that support the subconscious mind rather than threaten it, because when it's threatened, it's going to defend it, itself and you. So if you stop saying something like, I've got to, and you stop thinking I've got to, for example, and you reframe that to I choose to, the concept of choice is interpreted by the subconscious mind as something beneficial and something that leads to your well-being, so there's no subconscious resistance to it. So let's go back to the thing you thought about earlier that you said, I've got to, mm-hmm. and change your language to, this time say, I choose to, and present that same thing. What's the difference?
Well, I don't feel any pressure whatsoever. I just feel kind of, okay, now what? You know,
exactly. I choose to. It's a completely different response and a completely different physiological response. So you don't have that adrenaline running through your bloodstream now, shutting your mind down. Because again, the subconscious mind sees that as something that's freeing, not something confining. It's not a threat. I choose to.
I like that. So what can someone do who's on a deadline do to get in the flow of things? Move forward.
When we're on a deadline, the got-to language is flowing, and it tends to be flowing hot and heavy at that point in time. And if we allow that to continue, we end up in panic mode. And from panic mode, the conscious mind is definitely shutting down, and the reactive mind, the primitive reactive mind, is now running, fight or flight. And in that case, the best thing to do seems totally counterintuitive to most people. When I tell most people that this is what you need to do, they're going, well, that makes no sense. Not to the conscious mind, but it makes perfect sense to the subconscious mind. And that's because the best thing to do is to stop what you're doing and take a fun break. Now, that sounds completely strange and completely backwards to what we tend to do and tend to think we should do. But when we go and do something enjoyable, that breaks that cycle, and while we're in the midst of that enjoyment, we then envision the project, in this case a book, getting done. So imagine that you're in this enjoyable moment, you smile and you take a deep breath, and what the smile and the deep breath does is creates an anchor for you, so that when you get away from this enjoyable place and in this enjoyable moment, you can use those two things as an anchor to get you back into the state. And so the anchoring that pleasant feeling to the finished product, too. So So you smile, you take a deep breath, you envision the finished product, the finished book in your hands, and that series of things anchors the finished product to the pleasant feeling. And then, once you have that anchored from the smile, the deep, relaxing breath, and the visual of the finished product, you say to yourself, I take ownership of my finished product right now. And this is very important because the subconscious mind only works on what we own in the here and now. As long as it's in the future, it doesn't do anything with it. It doesn't live in the future. It lives in the here and now. So I take ownership of my finished product right now. And so we own it. We own the outcome. And I choose to have the product in my hands by, and then you name the date. So now you take ownership of it now, so the subconscious mind goes to work now, and you have a date, so the subconscious mind knows what your time frame is, how long you've got to do that, and now the resistance is gone. And you can re-anchor the completed project to the feeling by envisioning that completed project, going through the process of smiling, and taking the deep, slow, relaxing breath. So you now have an anchor to, so that when you're back at that computer cranking out the manuscript, the smile, the relaxing breath, and then become that trigger and take you right back to that peaceful frame of mind, and you begin creating. So it's literally a, and you can see why people say, well, that's counterproductive. I mean, that seems counterintuitive because who would think you'd go take a break and do something fun when you're in a time crunch?
Wow. I'm going to have to try that. I'm definitely going to have to try that because I could see what you're saying and it makes sense. But on one level, and on the other level, like you said, you say, what?
Uh-huh. The conscious
you know.
It goes, what? No. No, I'm not taking a break and going and doing something fun. It doesn't have to be for 3 hours. It could be for 30 minutes. As, however long it takes you to get into that place, that space of feeling that you're in a place that's enjoyable. And when you can anchor the project to the enjoyable feeling by doing a couple of things, and it can be the smile and the deep breath, it can be something you do with your hands, whatever you do, whatever physical movement becomes an anchor.
Well, is there anything an individual can do if he or she is unable to get past these blocks?
Yeah, there are some people who are so habited to a particular thought pattern or particular thought patterns that the simple exercise I just described won't work for them, that their patterns are too ingrained and too deep. So they need a more powerful means for climbing out of that deep rut.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing they do from a conscious perspective has helped, nothing is going to help because, again, the subconscious mind is far, far, far more powerful than the conscious. And so to remove the deep-seated blocks, And these can be removed very easily, effortlessly, completely, and permanently with a process that I call rapidly accelerated mind patterning, or RAMP for short. And you know, I don't know of any other means to do that. I've been working with people for a quarter of a century now, and I have not seen too many instances where people get very far with willpower or working from a conscious level. So listeners can learn more about RAMP if they choose to at banishblocks.com, and that's BanishBlocks, so it's plural, .com, banishblocks.com.
Are you the developer of the Rapid Accelerated Mind Patterning program?
I developed it as a result of all the studying I did around hypnotherapy and NLP and EFT and all the other quick change methods out there, and most of those have a success rate of about 65%, and I wondered why that was. And through research, discovered what that was, and so RAMP is the answer to the other 45%.
Wow. So what inspires you to write?
What inspires me to write? My passion for changing people's lives. My impetus, what started me on that path 30 years ago, was reading the quote by Henry David Thoreau that said, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And at that point in time, I knew it was true for me and just about everybody else I knew. and it just was not all right with me. It is still not all right with me. And in today's economy, I see so much desperation and so much need, and I'm driven to inform people that there's a better way.
Well, how does your writing inspire others?
It inspires them to believe that they're not broken, that there's nothing wrong with them, that they came into the world with absolutely everything they need to live the life they desire. It's just a matter of getting to that. It's not a matter of creating it or developing it or going out there in the world somewhere and finding it. It's a matter of claiming it because you already own it.
So when and why did you begin to write?
I began writing back in the early 80s. And mostly, I think what inspired that or compelled it, as it were, is looking at stereotypes. I have a real problem with stereotypes. I think stereotypes enslave and chain people to boxes that they don't really that aren't healthy to be in. And so I started writing around finding your truth and discovering what's authentic and realizing that most of what's authentic about us isn't gender-based or race-based or age-based or anything else-based. So it's essentially stepping away from those stereotypes and getting real.
Very good. So how do you define writing success?
I think writing success is when you reach your target audience and you reach them in the voice that they can hear and you impact them. When you have somebody send you an email and to say, and I've had this happen, your book literally changed my life, that's writing success. Or your book saved, I've even had people say, your book saved my life. And when I wrote The Law of Abundance, I've had a couple of people say, reading this saved my life. That success.
Wow. So what is your most powerful writing moment?
My most powerful writing moment. I think the most powerful writing moment is when you finally put that last sentence at the end of the book and you know that and that last sentence just wraps it up just the way you intended. It's like the bow on the box. That's the moment you know you've gotten through the project, it's complete, it's perfect. I tend to go back through my manuscripts 15 times. You know, I'm not one of those people that can sit down and write something real quickly and have it done. So when I write that last sentence, I know the manuscript is what I want it to be, and it's quite a moment.
So what are the three most important personal tips that you could share for achievement and fulfillment through your writing?
I would say be authentic. Know your audience so that you can talk to them in their language and using a voice they will hear and understand. And be sure that your paragraphs have continuity so that as people are reading through, they're not getting. Have you ever read something that you're reading along and it's just disjointed and you go, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. The subconscious mind wants to flow. It likes flow. And when we're in flow and there's continuity between the words and continuity between paragraphs and continuity throughout the whole book, then the reader stays with it, where there are things that seem not to fit or that are disjointed or just thrown in for no obvious reason. We get to that place. And if we have too many moments, we often give up and just put the book aside. Have you ever had that happen?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Me too. And then the fourth thing would be to be sure that your book is structured such that when people pick it up and scan through it, we do that. We tend to walk into a bookstore or pick up a book that's on the back table for sale and we scan through it. And if it looks hard to read, they're not going to buy it. So make sure it looks easy to read.
Very good advice. So what are your favorite writing tools?
Well, my favorite writing tool is the computer. I think it has saved tons of time, energy, and effort. I started out writing back when the computers were these big, clunky, slow things, and I was still writing on a typewriter, and it took me a few years to realize how perfectly wonderful it is to be able to cut and paste and correct things without having to have whiteout. So it's the computer by far.
Yeah, I remember that. Same here, because when I was writing all my psychology papers, because, you know, you'd have 15 in a semester sometimes, mm-hmm. I remember having to type it on a typewriter and then making the transition to finally the computer. I was so happy that I could do it, and I didn't have to retype the entire page or, you know, white out, like you said. Oh, my goodness.
When they came out with the correctable typewriters, I thought I was in heaven.
Yes.
And the computer, oh, yes, that was truly heaven.
Well, Sherry, I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing so much information about Writer's Block. Do you have a website, or I know you have a couple. Would you mind sharing them with our listeners?
I do. The one for the ramp process is banishblocks.com. I also have one called CoreMap. That's C as in Charles, O-R-E-M as in Mary, A-P as in Paul.com, CoreMap.com. And those are my two primary ones. I have other ones. I have SherryBuffington.com, too. So if you want to go and read about me, that's there, too. But those are the three primary ones.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for being on the show. You were a fabulous guest. Thank you for sharing about Writer's Block. I'm going to have to try your suggestions. I'll be working on that today.
All right. Well, let me know how it goes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you'd like more information about Dr. Sherry Buffington, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you can find out more information about her and her websites and her books. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.